If you're a listener from the Mouths of Madness podcast, I can only assume that you're also a diehard fan of horror movies like myself. My name is Matt Balea, and I own a company called To Die For. We make custom horror-inspired designs for shirts and much more. From original to exclusive content, we can get you whatever it is your dark heart might desire. Check us out at www.todieforshop.com. That's the number 2, die, the number 4, shop.com. Enjoy the show.
The views and opinions expressed on From the Mouths of Madness are that of the panel and not of the Geeks Under the Influence Network or their sponsors. Listeners, beware.
So you remember, like, I guess it was like late 2000s, 2010s, everybody was like, we need to make every type of Exorcist type movie possible. Like, like Conjuring was a success.
Yeah.
You know, sort of Exorcist.
When did that was 2013, right? 2012, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
But then you had like the Exorcist of Emily Rose. You had.
Yeah, that was. When was that? That was like late 2000s, right?
Yeah.
And then The Haunting in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And all that shit.
What's the live action one? The Last Exorcism, I think is what it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I never watched
that one. But I'm just saying they just piled up. For a while there, it's like, I've got an idea. Exorcism. You're like, sounds great. And it's like, but it just, there's exorcism fatigue. Like, that's why Conjuring was kind of like nice because it wasn't.
Well, that was, that was more haunting. Though.
Haunting,
that was more
ghosts,
not possession.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, that doesn't really, you know, now ghosts, spirits can possess, but, you know, there's not straight demon.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't go the easy route with that. So
Conjuring 2, they kind of go more into the demon territory with Vecna, I think is the name of the demon.
Yeah.
Vargas, some shit like that. Yeah. And then Abigail's possessed and the
but
the Conjuring universe is what really kind of.
Then you get to Conjuring 3 where they're just like full on possession.
Dude, yeah.
Only
that
the
one
power,
was...
only the power of love can stop a demon.
No, that was no. but this one, it did the whole similar thing, like these are based off true events and this the first time this footage has been released and yada 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 yada. And so it kinda has that trope going into it, but the way they do it, I didn't expect the movie to end. It felt like the movie was barely on when it ended.
Yeah.
Like it's like, what the fuck did I just watch? You know
it's
what I
like,
mean?
Cut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, folks. So tonight on the Chopping Block, we're gonna be talking about 2023's Last Night with the Devil. I'm Lowdown.
F you, Hunter. What's up, you Exorcist ratings loving bitches? Yeah. Like
skeptic bitches. That one dude was a dick.
Gotta get them ratings.
Dude, that one dude was a dick.
Oh, yeah.
The magician.
Oh, yeah.
He was a fucking dick.
But that's the point. He's like,
I know.
Don't buy it. Bullshit.
Shit. Yeah. And then, dude, his hallucination trick was sweet, though.
Yeah.
With the like, fucking gory as fuck. Yeah, like, dude, what they did with this film in one set, folks. This movie, like, there's some backstory shots, but 95% of the film is just that set.
Yeah,
that's it.
Which is
and you don't get bored
because it's like quote unquote found footage. Like, oh, we found the original tape. Someone because you know,
but see it's not found footage though.
Right,
it's not, shot like
I know it's not shaky cam.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying it's also this was you know live in the 70s. Not that many motherfuckers had a fucking VCR record that bitch back then.
No, but they did at the studio, and then somehow it ended up, the cops didn't find it initially, and it never got released.
It only takes one motherfucker. Look, I said there was very few VCRs back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
There's still tapes of the original broadcast of the Star Wars Holiday Special, because all it takes is one motherfucker with one copy. And you just make copies of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's all it took was one motherfucker to get what past the cops.
VCRs in the 70s were like, what, $800?
Oh, yeah.
Like something stupid like
that. I paid like $1,200. This baby goes, you can do rewind on this bitch if you want.
Auto tracking.
Oh, man.
Super sweet. Fucking A, though. You're right, though. You're right. It's got homeboy's been in a bunch of shit. He was in The Boogeyman.
I always refer him as the Polka Dot Man.
Polka Dot Man. He was in the series. He was in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he's been in
He's so crazy in Dark Knight.
Yes.
When he's like, and yeah, like when he looks down the name tag, he looks up and it's Rachel.
Rachel Dawes. Right?
Yeah. And he looks like, where's the name tag? He's like, I don't know, but I got her name tag on. Like, he's so fucking crazy.
Which I'm pretty sure is why they picked him to be, it's like, he just auditioned, like, oh yeah, fuck this guy, right, yeah. But he played like a psycho, like, leader in the show Gotham, so.
But also, like, he kind of shows his acting chops, because again, a lot of his roles, it's like crazy, or again, Suicide Squad, just like.
Yeah, this one, he definitely, like.
He is, I'm front center, I'm the Johnny Carson, I'm competing against Johnny Carson, I am like, and it's weird, I've never seen him take on this kind of role. So.
Yeah, and like, there's nothing weird, like in his character. He's just straightforward, like host.
The weird nervous laughs,
he's very soft spoken.
Yeah,
as like a late night host, and then he shows sorrow for losing his wife. Like you see all these points that you never. I guess you see him be sad, but like pouty sad in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, more of like his whole life is sad, not like, sucks and I see my mom everywhere, you know? Like,
exactly.
That kind of sad.
Exactly. He's
like, God damn, dude, you're fucked up.
Bro. Yeah.
Like, not like I lost the love of my life. She got cancer and I got to take some time away from people. And,
yeah. Now, they do intro the film with news clips about just all the satanic ritual rumors and all that stuff. It was like the satanic panic, did it start in the 60s? And flow into the 80s, or was it like into the 70s when it started?
A little bit late 60s into the 70s.
And then lasted through like early 80s.
And then you get
to
the 70s. And dude, they showed the documentary footage of the satanic cult.
Mm-hmm.
And like the main like cult leader looks just like the dude that wrote the book on the satanic Bible.
Yeah, has, like, Anton LaVey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Has a crazy fucking mustache or facial hair.
They just explode?
Yeah.
Right? Or no, they caught on fire. They burn alive.
Yeah, they burn alive.
That's fucking, it's terrible.
Fucking Waco stole that shit.
But yeah, when
copycat
I saw that.
Copycat cult.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, Anton LaVey, that's clever.
Yeah.
Dirt.
But there's a few tricks in this that I did enjoy. And like, the running time is perfect because it's pretty much, it's an hour and then you have your behind the scenes that extends it. So the movie literally runs about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It makes sense because with commercial breaks and shit like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, dude, it was genius. And like the costuming was right, the stage set was right, like the music was, everything for that time period I feel like was spot on. They didn't fuck up at all, dude. Like because it's something that's that dedicated to a time period, you look for mistakes. You do. I mean, I can't help myself.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, all right, there's going to be a cell phone on a table somewhere. Where is the thing? You know, and
where's that newer Dunkin' Donuts coffee mug?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Or that, but they were very smart about product placement. They made up their own cigarette brand apparently.
Yeah,
whatever
that says 70s more than anything else. Yeah. You're like fucking right backstage, you're smoking, and the other dude's smoking, and the person walked by. There's a fucking ashtray on the fucking table.
With the food.
Dude, man, the non-believer or whatever fucking lights up a cigar and shit.
Dude,
like,
yeah, he was
during the middle
of the
interview, like, let me just smoke the cigar.
Yeah, just like blowing it into homegirl's face.
Yeah, he's already an asshole, and now he's an asshole blowing cigar smoke into their faces.
Dude, some of the clips of the 7 years it was a show were hysterical.
Oh yeah,
like but it again, it represented the 70s perfectly as far as the tone deaf when they would do skits.
Yeah,
I was like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this skit.
Yeah,
they never crossed their mind. Like, oh no, it's just in good fun.
Yeah,
well, you know.
But I also like the desperation where
you basically just did Breakfast at Tiffany's style shit. So maybe, you know.
But I do like that. Yeah, and then he's like, ratings aren't doing any better. Get some more controversial shit. Like, hey, let's have a, you know, hippie and a fucking soldier. That'll work out perfect, right?
No.
And like, that's where we get to this, where it's like, I want the fucking ratings. I need the fucking ratings. Like, he's
been
desperate.
Trying to be Carson for all these years and never
like,
has been able
I'm
going to
do some shit Carson wouldn't fucking do. And he's like, I'm going to have this Halloween episode and I'm going to have a fucking actual possessed, like, chick.
Oh, the name of the show is what? Night Owl with
Night Owl,
whatever the fuck his name is. So, like, what was it? Happy Halloween?
Yeah.
And
all the cheesy,
shit,
when it cuts to the commercial, and it's like the cheesiest fucking 1970s.
100%. Yeah. It was just like, wow, man. But hey, it's accurate. Again, like, everything was spot on with that.
And I love the Andy Richter, Ed McMahon, like
oh, but he was such a bitch.
I know,
dude.
But,
he was such a bitch.
But he's also like, you feel bad for him.
You do. You're like, man. He's just like,
he's pretty much a mustache Costanza, right? Like, I don't know how else to put it. Like,
without the rage.
Yeah, without the rage, but just like, I don't know about this. Like,
oh, who's, oh yeah, fuck, who was the first guy? Was the
Mandrake?
fake Italian dude.
Yeah.
Or Spanish dude.
Yeah.
Because remember when he like starts screaming when he's actually getting fucked with? Like, he loses his accent. You're like, whoa, dude, what happened?
You mean when he projectiles black
and that was my only complaint with the effects. That looked terrible, dude. Did. I got to, but honestly,
you can't put a hose next to him and just fucking just crank it out.
Yeah, what? Like, you know how many movies got away with that?
Yeah.
Like, is because they wanted to have the pan out shot and it would have been more difficult? Fuck it. Figure it out.
And even
figure it out.
The non-believer skeptic guys is like, that can be easily done. Really?
Apparently.
I've never seen that shit before.
No, but he's diving deep into the mind of somebody who's desperate to like be believed, because because he's like a magician, but he's also like in psychology of some sort, I thought.
Yeah.
He knows that hypnotize and manipulate the brain, and he's showing how easily something can be construed as reality that's not, right? Like, we'll get to that part in the movie, which was really awesome later.
Yeah.
But like, so he thinks that like there he names what it's called that people can do to make themselves vomit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no fucking way, dude.
Ugh.
Oh, he died on the way to the hospital. Like, oh yeah, of course he did. Dehydrated.
But it doesn't help because the psychic does the cold call type things. Like, I'm getting a name starts with a B.
Yeah.
A B. P. Peterson, and then like some guy's like, well, my wife's family's name is this, and like, and it's so desperate, and he finally gets a hit, and he's like, see the magic of psychic, and you're like, it's kind of like bullshit.
But then they the skeptic guy does get it out of that mom and daughter about the brother son dying, where it's like, oh, this dude asks us tons of questions outside.
Yeah,
like,
we had to fill the survey out.
You didn't think. why would a live TV show ask you for all these questions?
Exactly.
Like, think about that. You know, you didn't think that was a coincidence? Like, really? Come on now.
Well,
Well,
he's dead now, so it doesn't matter.
And so were they.
Yeah.
I guess the
Did
whole...
we get it on count of the...
We never got it. We did not get a shot of the audience.
Okay.
Nope, we didn't. We just got a shot of the pan out of the stage.
Yeah, so we get the psychic, does his little parlor tricks, and then he starts actually getting fucked up and like... Then they bring up the next guest, and this dude is like heavy sweating and like bloody, having a bloody nose and looking all fucked up. And you're like,
and the skeptic fucks with him hard, dude.
He's fucking with him
hard.
And dude's getting more and more upset. And also looks like he's about to like fucking kill over, which I know it's dedication. You got to keep the first guest on. But if dude is like bloody nose, sweating, like, you know what? I think we can do this a solo. We can do a solo thing here. We don't need you on the other chair,
right? Yeah, we're good. We're just perfectly fine.
But we get to the point where at the end of the second segment, he falls on the ground and projectiles black shit and then leaves and find out later on, bye-bye.
He died.
Dude fucking died.
Died. Yep. And so after the skeptic, then they bring out the author and the demon girl.
Yeah.
She said she was raised with the cult.
Only survivor.
From the fire.
Yeah.
That's right. Of that cult. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which that was kind of a cool. I like that too. Is they go, before we bring him out, let me show you this clips from this documentary. And it shows documentary on the satanic, you know, cult.
Mm-hmm.
And then her talking over how this is the only survivor and how she worked with it, her. And there was a recording of her talking while she's possessed. And I thought that was, that was cool. And then you bring her out. And
she's sweet,
like,
but she's definitely odd.
She's staring at the camera, like directly the camera. And then the host's name was like Jack, right?
Yeah.
Because she's like, I'm here for you, Jack. And it's just fucking creepy. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Because basically the whole premise is that she has figured out a way to control the possession versus it fully taking over.
Yeah.
So like there's parts of her personality that I guess the demon just kind of poking through, but that's as far as it can go until it's like released,
yeah,
I guess, by the author.
And of course, motherfucker's like, God, fucking ratings, man. I need the ratings.
Don't fuck with the demons.
Can we bring it out? And you know it's some real shit because they got her, they bring up the special chair, the one with
the one from the 1930s.
Where it's just like, all right, let's
the lobotomy chair.
Yeah, let's strap you down. Here you go. And brings out the fucking demon. And
okay, the makeup was cool and the voice swap was fucking rad.
Yeah, because she head down, puts her to sleep. The head comes up, and then...
And the thing is, it was one shot, though. From what I remember, the down and the up was one shot. So I don't know how they cut that to make... I could be wrong. I might not be remembering that right, but I'm pretty sure there wasn't a camera cut. And I love when they do that.
It might have been.
I love when they do that, because then you don't know... They were so smooth that you don't know where they cut to meld them together. I think that's genius. But like I said, I could be wrong. I could have missed, you know.
But a la Reagan comes back up, face all fucked up.
Talking all fucked up,
you know? Yeah. And like does all this shit and then levitates the chair in front of the audience. And then eventually she's able to bring the girl back. And of course, Mr. Skeptic.
He doesn't believe it, but
bullshit. But he does. I'll say this. He's an asswipe. He's like everything people say. He's like, fuck you. You know what? I'll pay you $500,000. You can prove me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he does do a pretty good thing. He's like, give me 5 minutes and I'll show you what she did.
Mm-hmm. And this is where it was really cool, because like the Andy character hates worms. He hypnotizes the whole audience because they get it on camera.
Yeah, he takes the little
Twilight Zone spindle thing, Beetlejuice umbrella, whatever.
He has everybody in the crowd watch it. He has everybody
else on the stage watch the TV. So everybody's getting hallucinated, is hypnotized, sorry. And like, they fuck with Andy about worms. Like, what is that on you? Oh, is that a worm? He's like, what?
Well, because he's just standing there, and all of a sudden Andy's like, it's fucking hot. And he's like, I got it.
No, yeah.
And then he's like, what's this on my neck? And then you see like this opening on his neck, and it's fucking blood coming out. And he starts pulling out worms. He's like, wait. Pulls out his shirt, and he's fucking ripping his guts. That was cool.
Fucking rad.
Yeah.
And then he snaps out of it, and then he says, play it back. And when he plays it back, you see him suggesting all that stuff to the audience and to Andy.
Yeah.
So like he's making it all happen. So then they're like, aha, touche. Let's go back even further and see what happened with the, I forget the girl's name. And when you go back, they're like, looks the same to me. That's what was recorded. So
yeah. And he gets a quick shot. He's like, wait, stop. And he sees his.
I caught that when it first happened, though.
Oh, really? Yeah,
there was like, because it's like right over her head, because her head was turned, so, and she has the auburn hair. There was like this flash of like grayish like thing, and I thought it was just a weird glare thing.
Quick shot of Duban's wife.
Dead wife. That's what I'm saying. Like, I caught that, and I didn't know what the fuck that was. Because that was actually, they showed that part in that scene in the movie that when they caught it, when they was rewinding it. I'm like, I fucking remember that from like 30 minutes ago. And I just thought it was whatever. I thought it was like them copying The Exorcist, where the demon like pops itself. Remember, like in the kitchen, with the mom, and like there's like three spots where the demon like face just pops up in The Exorcist. So I thought they were like kind of just copying that, but apparently not. But you find out he was actually shady, and you find out he goes to our host Jack does this, goes into the woods for this boy weekend with weird shit,
which again makes sense because like it's the underground, like, you know,
but they have been known to help stars and actors, and you're like,
the secret handshake club, you know.
Yeah, you know, they're fucking okay. Maybe they're sacrificing shit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Kind of like a Ready or Not kind of setup, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and then you see where he really like let his wife die, basically.
Yeah,
like, I mean, he couldn't have saved her, but he also wasn't going to stop the show to like fully like invest in her. Remember on the scene on the deathbed?
Yeah, he had a choice.
He made a choice.
But we get full on. All right, bitches. You thought this was entertaining. Now you fucked up, and the demon takes full possession of her. And then I like the effect. I don't know how you felt about it, but her head splitting, open,
and then beaming, like,
and
what
then
the fuck?
She's like, fuck you, goddamn poor fucking Andy Richter, motherfucker.
He got the twist.
He tries to run. Nope, head twist. Like, dude, that was straight up. Yeah. He was the first one to go.
Yeah, that was.
And then in a twist of irony, the doctor that's helping this little girl pulls out a crucifix, and the demon's like, oh, cool. You know what'd be really funny? And takes a crucifix and lifts her up, and then uses that to fucking saw
lifts
her neck.
Up.
Or no, her.
Oh, the girl. Oh, that's right.
Doctor.
Yeah,
But
you said the skeptic.
Well, no. I'm saying the doctor that was helping the girl.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
And uses that fucking crucifix chain to cut through the neck.
Yeah, that was rad. Really, 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 really good practical effects.
But my favorite, and I was...
Oh, he got burnt. That's right. He got burnt.
I kind of was disappointed because now the skeptic's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's fumbling around in his jacket. And I was sure, and it would have made so much sense, that he was going to start pulling out artifacts from different religions. And even though he's a non-believer, he still like, oh, how about a cross? How about like this
something,
amulet?
Something works.
I thought, but no, he pulls out the check. And he's mm-hmm. like, here, you can have the check. And he's like, you fuck off with your money? Really? Burns the check. And it's like, you know, while we're in the process of burning shit, bada boom, and burns the shit out of him too.
But what? So in that, what was the reality? Because remember, he goes through his thing.
And then that's what I can't figure out is yeah. that the our main host gets the fuck out and gets backstage. But then, and this is where it gets confusing, it's kind of a sequence where he's walking around. It goes back to commercial break, and then he's flashbacking to him. And
it's like he keeps going. He's going back. So all the clips that we saw from over the years of the show at the beginning, he's going back through time.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, but he's like conscious in that time, and he's stopping. He stops doing the thing, right? He's like, where are you going? Like the caveman one. Where are you going? We still, yeah,
like it's, you know, it's in the process, but he's yeah. in his reality.
So I don't understand what that, was it the way for the ghost to distract? I mean, the demon to distract, to keep him there until the cops showed up or something crazy?
Or just like, that momentary before, like, or I guess distraction, because like,
maybe
I'm going to make you, well, she says it earlier, you'll be famous after tonight.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah.
And so I guess, fuck with this reality to the point where then he's at his wife's deathbed.
Mm.
There's that dagger that, the fuck did they leave that shit sitting around?
Yeah.
And he's like, she's like, please, just I'm in such pain. Get me out of this pain. He's like, all right, I guess I gotta stab the shit out of you. And oh, in reality, he just killed a little girl
mm-hmm.
in the studio in front of everybody or yeah. whatever cameras were remaining.
Yeah, or maybe the live studio was still there. Did we see them run away?
No, there's nobody in the... Yeah, okay. When the girl's head opens up, the people are like,
yeah.
I don't think this is part of the show.
Again, was it he going crazy over the ratings and or the guilt?
I don't know.
That was his wife was his sacrifice
yeah.
for the success of the show. Like, yeah. So he made a pact in the woods with his boy toys and his buddies. Because remember, that's what he says on her bed, is like, this is the price you're paying.
Yeah.
Is me. You know? Or was he going insane? Did he actually kill those four fuckers on the stage? The girl and the doctor,
I think the demon killed them, but,
who's gonna believe that, right? Exactly. Yeah. So
dude that got burned up, you're like, did you take his lighter and set him on fire? You know what I mean?
I know, it's just the way that it pans out at the, and that's literally the end of the film. It does leave you slightly, not fully ambiguous, but definitely like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is he crazy? You know what I mean? Like, it was just, I love how it just, you get that feeling for a little bit.
Yeah.
Before you're like, there's no way. He can't burn that dude. You know, you realize it was a demon, but there was that second where I'm like, fuck, is he in, like, when he first comes out of it and it slowly pans before you see all the bodies again, you're like, is he fucking nuts?
But he also had chances to not push it that far. Yeah, you had his producer.
Andy, he had the producer.
What I'm saying, his producer was like, gotta push it, man. We gotta get the ratings. Push it. Dude, he's like, that Exorcist segment, you're at a peak. You're at the ratings high. Just keep going on. So he had that moment where he's like, we need to go farther with this.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Just kept pushing it.
Yeah.
Kept pushing it.
And look what happens.
Yep.
So, all right, folks, there is actually more in that movie, but, you know, that's basically, like, the gist of it, and you really need to watch it to kind of get the other nuances of the film. It's kind of hard to describe some of the awesomeness that went into that film.
Yeah.
Like, of the time period. Do you agree?
It's a good time capsule. Like,
yeah.
you get transported like you're watching a show from the 70s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate that, because really, we just always see 80s, and we started to see some 90s stuff. We don't really get the 70s. Much,
yeah,
which is fun.
Last thing I think that was recent that was 70s was House of the Devil, which we were saying felt very like.
But that was set in the 80s,
right? But it had that 70s. Remember?
The 70s, but I mean the movie was set in the 80s though.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm saying it had that feel of like the way it was shot, and like this was not just the way it was shot because you're getting away with.
Yeah. TV no, cameras. But it did feel like. Yeah, I get what you're saying about the way it was shot. I just meant like this movie was shot a certain way, and it was. Completely stage dressed the same way,
and then
so.
You bought that this could have been
the political the little cartoons too
yeah.
for like when Carson's like got him on the ropes like in the boxing cartoon. Like I forgot about those old funny cartoons that were in like New York Time, not the New Yorker and shit like that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's fucking they were fun. But all right, folks, that is it. We will be right back.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Tondi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there's another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guides at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
All right, everyone of the shows you can get at GIPodcast.com and or anywhere you get your podcast. But if you listen to it through GIPodcast.com, you can also go to our links tab and then click our links to the public where all the merch is for all the shows on the network and just tons of, you know, amazing original designs based off episodes.
Cool ass shit.
Yeah. So yeah, pick up some stuff. Magnet stickers, that'd be great. That's always easy to get. We'd appreciate it.
Ponchos. Do they have ponchos?
No, they don't have ponchos
God
either.
God damn it. All right.
They got nothing for rain.
I know.
Nothing for wet weather.
Son of a bitch.
I know, and it's getting ready to be.
Well, I guess so. If it's cold rain, you put that hoodie on.
It's true.
Yeah? All
it's
right.
True. It's just going to get wet and make you colder, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So, get the hood.
All right, so yeah, this movie, it survived the chopping block for me. I am really stoked to watch it again.
Yeah.
I really, really want to watch this again.
I will say, I wish the ending wasn't so.
Did you want to see him get arrested? That's all you're missing.
No. I'm talking about from where he kind of goes back into the episodes. It kind of pulled me away from what was happening live.
The horror that was happening live, yeah.
Because you had your backstage scenes, but that was kind of just to build narrative. This was the first kind of altered reality situation. Everything else is like we're watching it with the audience.
Yeah.
And now we're watching what he's seen. And that's the only thing that kind of pulled me out of it a little bit.
Okay. I can get that.
Yeah.
Because I can understand that.
95% of the movie is you're an audience member. Like, look, I found this tape of the fucking last one. And I actually found where they had behind the scenes footage too. So you're still going there. This is the only one where, as an audience, we wouldn't be seeing what he's seen in that reality.
No.
And that's the thing that kind of took
me out
of it. You
were seeing this crazy dude.
So
yeah.
That's my one gripe is that, like, you work so hard.
If they had done a cut, like, when he's transferring through those different things he did throughout the years on the show to, like, just the crowd, like, the, you know. But you even couldn't do that because the crowd left. So
I would almost rather you get it behind the scenes and you see him and he's, like, interacting with nobody. And he's, like, apologizing. And he goes to the little girl. And she's back to herself, and he's talking to her, but as his wife, and then he just stabs her. And you would know, his reality is different than what's actually happening.
I got you.
I think I would have rather had it that way.
But it's just like, let's go through all this altered reality crap, and then, oh, wait, no, you're back on set.
It's almost like it has to explain it. I just, you didn't have that in the rest of the movie.
Fair.
Overall, still love the shit out of it.
Yeah, this is one I would own.
Yeah.
I think overall, it's a great horror film. It builds, it's suspenseful, you know, it adds on, it's just enough, you know, it adds on to itself and it doesn't go overboard when it doesn't. Even the head splitting thing, I don't think was overboard. I think that was just fun demonic release.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they went too far with that, you know? So, all right, folks, that's it. Hit us up at lowdownbrown.gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Were you able to make it when it was in theaters? That's where we both saw it. Or
pretty sure it'll be on Shudder at some
point. It'll be on Shudder at some point. So if you haven't seen it yet, maybe go watch that before you listen to this episode, or listen to this episode and then see if you agree with this. Because like I said, there's other stuff that also makes this a good film. It's just really, you'd have to watch it.
And a lot of people work into it, like 7 different studios.
Yeah, fuck.
I know.
hey, they got funding.
It got kind of funny. After the third one, I was like, oh, okay.
Four more.
And I was like, all right. And then another one. And I was like, is this part of, nope, it's another studio. Yep. Oh, this is, no, another studio.
One more.
So a lot of people were involved with this. A
lot of money from a lot of places. It's a lot of investors to pay back.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, it'll be on Shudder soon, so definitely check it out. Let us know. Until we talk to you again, embrace the madness.
GUIPodcast.com